Hello and welcome to Zach Attack. We're never going to be better than this. This is episode 43, Ricky Stenicki from 2024. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And Joe, I think this is not only for this podcast, I think it's the first movie from this year that I've podcasted about on any show. Like It's not that old. The year's not that old right now. And I'm trying to think if there's any other movies that have come out this year that
it's,
I would have talked about.
I mean, it's the end of March, though. It's beginning of April. That's still a ton. You made it through a quarter without talking about a movie that had come out in this year.
I mean, we did have our Madam Web spinoff podcast.
True.
Her web connects them all. But here we are talking about our second Zac Efron movie in like 2 weeks. We covered The Iron Claw finally. And now we're here back with Ricky Stenicki. Who knows what's coming next? We went through his IMDb last episode, seeing what's upcoming. I have no idea what's going to come next. We'll find out. But here we are, Ricky Stenicki on Prime. When three childhood best friends pull a prank that goes wrong, they invent the imaginary Ricky Stenicki to get them out of trouble. 20 years later, they still use the non-existent Ricky as a handy alibi for their immature behavior.
That sums it up pretty decent.
Uh-huh. Directed by Peter Farrelly, who, of course, for Zeph, directed the greatest beer run ever. He also is the Academy.
It feels very much like that. Like, just tonally, story-wise.
Oh, do you mean cast Zeph in a movie that's ostensibly a comedy and give him absolutely nothing funny to do the entire time?
This guy had a wacky idea, and this is like these three guys had this wacky idea. Let's put Zeph in it. You know, like that's what I was more tonally
that's also
matching.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my thing is also true, though. Also, is it way too long? It's way too long. Okay. Peter Farrelly, of course, the Academy Award-winning director of Green Book, the film that solved racism. He also directed with his brother Dumb and Dumber, There's Something About Mary, Me, Myself, and Irene, all those movies. Produced by, I'm skipping the writer for now, produced by 21 different people. There's more on that
later.
It's
always a good sign, yeah.
Shot by this guy, John Brawley, who shot a movie called Lake Mungo, which is like a lower budget horror movie that Dr. Chris Podcast loves. And then he's shot a bunch of other movies that I've never heard of. Like, it looks like straight to DVD, VOD stuff. I mean, which is sort of surprising considering that this is like a relatively high profile thing for this guy. Like, I mean, the movie looked fine. Like, it looked bright. It looked like a VOD movie, but like,
yeah.
I'm sort of surprised that there is nothing else they recognized. $50 million budget.
That seems pretty high.
No box office because it went straight to Prime.
Yeah.
47% of Rotten Tomatoes. 73% by the audience, though. So I've never seen this before. So there's a critic consensus, the 47%. Ricky Stenicki gets some big laughs thanks to John Cena's up for anything performance, but they aren't enough to support the movie's thin plot and excessive runtime. But then the audience, I've never seen this before, audience says... Rotten Tomatoes also giving the audience a consensus, 73% by them. Ricky Stenicki's cheesy lowbrow laughs are a perfect match for John Cena's impressive commitment to the bit. 44 on Metacritic, no crazy credits, really no trivia of note other than the complicated backstory of how Ricky Stenicki came to be.
Okay, yeah, you Joey gave me a heads up that he was like, this is so wild that I almost told you before we recorded, but I'll save it.
As I was researching before I watched, the story is not wild. The story is very normal. Like, a lot of people tried to make it happen. It didn't happen. It eventually happened. Like, that's normal. But the names of people who were almost Ricky Stenicki, who were involved in one way or the other, wild. So, 14 years ago, May 2010, there is a screenplay that is on the Hollywood blacklist, which is the list of best unproduced screenplays. It's just like, these are the movies that we think are going to be the best movies, or the best screenplays,
who
at least that have never been
that?
Made. There was a guy who did it, and then I think it became like just sort of an organization or something, but there was like one guy who I think was a script reader, and just like, these are good movies.
How is this? Okay, so the guy just like was getting all these scripts, and he puts them into like, this is a good pile. It's the good pile.
History of the Hollywood blacklist screenplays.
Sorry to derail you, but I'm very curious about this. I have no idea how
it
would work.
It was first compiled in 05 by Franklin Leonard, who was working as a development executive for Leonardo DiCaprio's production company, Appian Way Productions. He emailed about 75 fellow... Oh, that's right. He emailed a bunch of other people in a similar job. He's just like, what movies do you love that haven't been made? And like, he compiled
like,
all
what
those.
Are some of the best scripts you've read that like just keep getting passed on?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Because like, all these people, like, you know, I'm in every job, there's like things that you're super passionate about that nobody else sees the value in, or nobody else sees like what you see in it, right? And
yep.
So
yeah.
He compiled a list of these based on like people in our position who like do this kind of stuff, but like ultimately don't have the final say. These are the movies we think are the best. And a lot of those have gone on to become made over time because, like, it became this, like, known thing. They're not always good. Like, there might be a good screenplay, but then, you know, the adaptation or it gets rewritten or whatever.
Editing, directing, acting, yeah. You need all of those things too. But yes, they're like, these are the screenplays we think would be good movies. Okay.
So there are, there's a wiki page for the Blacklist parentheses survey. So there were 286 screenplays on the original Blacklist, which seems like a crazy amount. But after they put that list out there, 120 of them became movies.
Okay.
Including like the Leo movie Blood Diamond, Babel, Ender's Game, Michael Clayton, Nebraska. Like, some of these took like years and years to do. Tokyo Drift.
Insane. This is
so
all
a lot
insane.
A lot of these were Diving Bell and Butterfly, 500 Days of Summer, like big movies. Recently, in terms of like the 2021 Blacklist, which had 73 screenplays, Air, the Michael Jordan movie, became.
Okay.
Challengers, the Zendaya tennis movie that's coming out soon.
Yeah.
But like movies that are like good that, you know, just for whatever reason, people didn't see the thing in. Anyway, so in May 2010, it was reported that James Franco was attached to play the title role in Ricky Sinicky. Screenplay written by David Aquino, Jason Decker, and Jeff Buschel, right? 2 years later, Franco's like, you know, I got other things. This isn't happening. I'm going to move on. Joaquin Phoenix considered for the role.
Okay.
So then a year later, Phoenix drops out.
But they're all getting considered for Stanicky, like for the Cena role. Because
that's the role. That's the role.
Exactly. Okay.
A year later, Jim Carrey would star in Ricky Stanicky for Summit Entertainment with Steve Odekirk directing and rewriting the screenplay. So Jim Carrey's like, let's do it. He waits a full year. Nothing ever happens. He drops off. A year after that, 2015 now, Nicolas Cage gets attached.
Okay.
And he was like, this is my opportunity to remind people that I can do comedy.
Okay.
And then financiers were like, ooh, you're box office poison right now. We need to put action in this to, like, give people the reason to go.
Okay.
And they were like, no, you're not doing that. So, like, the whole project, like, went off the rails. 6 years go by. Eventually, Zeff finds the script. Amazon finds the script. They team up. They cast John Cena. The screenplay was written by Peter Farrelly, Brian Jarvis, and James L. Freeman. And then it explains, like, all these people get, like, screen story, screenplay based on additional literary material. But there's, like, 14 writers and 21 producers. Like, they all, like, have credit in this at some point or another. But, like, I was like, James Franco, who obviously, you know, problematic now, but you used to love him. Cage.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey, Joaquin Phoenix, Cena, Zeff, just like a history of like all the people that we have like been attached to.
Yeah, and at this point, Zeff did Baywatch with The Rock.
Yep.
Zeff does this movie with John Cena.
What other wrestlers can he team up with?
No, he's just like thoroughly threatening us by not being in the Fast and the Furious.
Oh, you went that way, yeah. Yeah.
He's, like, aggressively towing around. That, like, he knows everybody else involved. Zeff is the perfect replacement for fucking Paul Walker. And it sucks to say that, but it's absolutely, like, that is the missing piece.
So we say it on every episode of Zack Attack now. Every Tuesday we have Too Fast, Too Forever that comes out. The bummer is now that we are supposedly, possibly, probably only getting one more Fast and Furious movie, like, they're not going to add, especially as Universal's, like, Vin, you got to cut people out. You can't add people. Like, we're not going to get Zeff.
The money is not going to get bigger. Yeah.
But,
like, Zeff would have been the perfect. We always said little nobody, but, like, Zeff would have been the perfect.
Bluest blue eyes.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I don't want to jump the gun here. He never gets shirtless in this movie. And I don't
never
think
get
he,
shirtless.
I don't think he ever cries, right? He gets, like, sad, but he doesn't, like, cry.
When he comes out of the bar there for a minute, he's sad, but it wasn't. There's no tears. He doesn't get shirtless. And although there is a dance scene, he's not dancing in it.
It's really like they're like, all right, Zeff, you love the screenplay. You're kind of in charge of this. You're going to be here. We're not going to let you do anything that you're known for, anything that's interesting, anything that people are going to remember.
Exactly. Yeah, that's always the good way to do it.
Like, it's weird to me. I understand, like, the premise of this, but it's weird to me to have a comedy that's like, because a lot of comedies, like, everyone's funny. And then this movie's like, no, one person is funny.
Yes, I know.
No one else is even allowed to think a joke.
you guys are all playing it straight, so Cena looks even more insane.
I will say, I'm glad that John Cena joined the Fast and Furious, because, like, I knew him from Blockers. I knew him from, like, one scene or whatever in that Amy Schumer movie. It was at Trainwreck. But I never really knew him. Like, I'd never seen him in multiple things. Like, I never watched wrestling. Now I have an affinity toward him before playing, you know, Jacob. But he's so good in this movie. But, like, everything else about this movie is just, like, ugh.
My major takeaway of this movie is that we've often watched movies that have Zeff in them that aren't, like, great or don't become popular movies.
Yes.
And oftentimes, he is the shining star of that film.
Yes.
That we're watching it and we're like, oh my god, like, I see that a lot of stuff fell apart, but Zeff is really good.
And even though we're watching for him, I think it is, like, usually, objectively, like, he is the best part of a bad movie.
I agree, right? In this movie, it's like Cena shines so much brighter mm-hmm. than Zeff. It's like, it's almost sad. Like, and you said, because they don't cater to anything that he's good at.
Nope.
He's done comedy movies before. Yep. He's funny in The Beach Bum. Like, he's done these things. They don't let him get shirtless. They don't let him dance. They don't let him do comedy. He just plays like a straight man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not dramatic or serious like he just did in The Iron Claw. So it feels very weird. Anyway, Cena is great in this movie. And this movie, I think, is a lot of fun still. I had a great time watching it because I like John Cena. And I was thinking to myself, like, man, Cena's approaching that point for Rachel and I that's kind of like Adam Sandler movies, like even the like later like new comedy ones, that you're like, this is always going to be stupid fun.
I was thinking if this was like 5 or 6 years ago, I would off mic, I'd be like, should we do a Cena podcast?
Yeah.
There's something about watching a movie where someone shines so much brighter than everyone else. That
he's fully committed. I mean, and it's part of the character itself, but yeah. He, as an actor, seems fully committed to this bit.
I mean, William H. Macy has some funny stuff to do, but it's mostly in conjunction with Cena. Andrew Santino, I don't know if you know him, the redhead guy. He was in some role in The Disaster Artist. I mostly know him from the TV show Dave with Lil Dicky.
For some reason, I knew he's a comedian. I recognized him as a comedian somehow.
I think he's also a stand-up. Like, I think you might just know him as a stand-up. He's also involved somehow with, like, Adam Devine. I don't know. Like, okay. I'm looking at his Letterboxd. He's got 2 different stand-up specials. I don't know if they're Netflix or not. I don't know where they are. But, like, I think he's just, like a regular stand-up comedian. The guy I did not know, Jermaine Fowler, I've seen him in a different stuff. I just didn't recognize his name. But he was in Sorry to Bother You, Judas and the Black Messiah, The Blackening, Buffaloed. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff, but he was recently on Comedy Bang Bang, and he was having such a delightful time just laughing at all the insanity on that show. Like, he was just, like, giggling through the entire podcast. Like, Scott King brought him on first, yeah. Interviewed him about this movie, kind of, and then he was just, you know, a guest, and he was just having such a good time. He just, like, seems to be super fun. It seems like this kind of movie... Oh, he was one of the leads in The Blackening. Okay, but, like, it feels like he's on the rise in terms of, like... Not like a breakout for him, but kind of like a, oh, this guy could be really funny too.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I just wish Zeff had more. I mean, I think this is also the issue where it's like watching for a podcast for an actor. Like, we want that actor to do more, and he
sometimes
doesn't.
Sometimes they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I agree.
But you like the movie overall. You and Rachel both liked the movie.
I did. We watched it kind of intoxicated. It was really fun like that. I like that it was set in Providence. That made it more fun for us because we're not very far. But, like, overall, just, like, Cena's bits and stuff like that, it was just stupid fun. I did enjoy it. How about you?
I thought it was fun. I thought it's too long. So last week we had
It does fantasy, feel a little long.
We had our fantasy baseball draft. I mean, it's, like, an hour 55, and then there's, like, 10 minutes of credits with the have, like, did you stick through the credits to see the, like, TikTok auto-tune mashup of William H. Macy?
No. We saw the beginning of the Instagram.
Yeah, so like Zeff's character gets married. Wes's character, you know, Wes releases the book, right? But
okay.
Then there's like, because there's like, I was like, there's still 7 minutes of credits. Like, what else? So I just like click forward. So in the movie, when they talk about William H. Macy as a world-class air dicker, like whenever he's talking, he's like gesturing. So like we should put this on TikTok.
Make a TikTok. Yeah.
They make a TikTok. Like, they do like an auto-tune okay. Where they just like cut things up or whatever. That's like okay. Buried in the credits. And then there's, you know, 2 minutes or whatever. But I'm just like, an hour 55 for any comedy is very long. I mean, it's not Judd Apatow long, but it's long. And then
when I saw the runtime, I was apprehensive to begin with, too. I absolutely agree with you.
So like, much of it is like not funny until John Cena comes in, and then him doing all of his musical parodies. I'm like, he is so fully committing to this that it becomes enjoyable. But I'm just like, when he's not on screen, it's like this is like a drama almost.
Also, I want to know how many of those he actually did, if these are the ones they kept. And then they cut back later in the movie and give you more of them. Like, so he must have done like a million of... Because in the movie, John Cena is doing an Atlantic City sideshow that...
As Rock Hard Rod,
doing what he calls jizz jams.
Mm-hmm.
Which are just songs about masturbating. Masturbation parodies
of popular songs, yep.
Yeah. So that's what he's doing. And in the movie, they show you like 20 or 30 of them.
And
there's
like
an insane amount. And he's
dressed as each, like fully out. Like he does Devo, he does Britney, he does Billy Idol,
yes.
He does...
And he's fully decked out, full costume, full singing, remix lyrics to make them raunchy jerk-off songs. Yes,
it's so
it's awesome.
It's crazy.
Really funny, though. It's really, really funny.
And so there's like a running thing that he thinks he's like being pursued by people who he owes money to, but they're just like, they're Billy Idol's lawyers. You find out at the very end that they're just like serving him a cease and desist. He's just like, oh, so he's seen my
Billy
show.
Billy Idol saw my show, yeah.
If he did, I don't think there's 20, there's probably 8 or 10 or 12 in the movie, but like there's probably another 8 or 10 or 12 that they did that weren't funny or didn't hit or didn't get the clearance or who knows, right? But like,
yeah,
boy. He's in the Britney Spears outfit for too long, maybe. Too long. He's like, there's a whole...
It is so comically beautiful. It actually reminds me of the South Park when they have Satan's Super Sweet 16 Halloween party or something. And Satan dresses up as Britney Spears. Because it's like, he's so ripped and big and his shoulders are so wide. To see him in the schoolgirl costume with like the pigtail wig, it makes it really funny. But yes, you're right. He's in it for way too long.
And I was like, you know, on Letterboxd, I think I probably have said this before on Too Fast, that like, if you pay for, like, if you don't have, it's a free site, but if you pay to donate to like get ad free or whatever, you can change movie posters. And I think because this is a Prime Video thing where there's not like, they can just like dump and they can just like pump ads to the Fire. Like every time I open the Fire TV for like a week, they're like, watch Ricky Snicky, watch Ricky. I'm just
guys. It was main page.
But there's like no other posters for this movie. It's just the default poster. But then there's a bunch. The only other like variant is him in the Britney Spears. Because he's in the Britney outfit on the poster. But there's one like in the Priscilla where it's like the Priscilla font going up, like the script, and it just says Ricky Stenicki and Sam, it's the Britney Spears thing. I'm just like, they really leaned into this one thing very hard for the promotion of this movie.
It was good. It was funny to me.
What I was excited about was for the second movie in a row, we have another actor playing young Zeph.
We were trying to figure it out, and young Zeph is Austin Powers for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Which he's Austin Powers. Sense. His friend is Freddy Krueger, and his other friend is not a cow, but a dog with a dick.
Yeah, with a red rocket boner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the night that Ricky Stenicki is born.
Yeah, so they like what? They like go, they want to light flaming shit on this guy's porch because he never gives out Halloween candy. And then they realize that like that's because the person's not home. Shit breaks bad. They catch the house on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, why don't we write a name inside the costume
so
that we can blame it on an imaginary person. So they write Ricky Stenicki inside the costume, and the cops are like, oh, this must be a kid from another school district. And then they discover that they could just blame everything on their imaginary friend. So anytime they get in trouble, they just say it was always Ricky Stenicki.
Yep.
And the legend is born.
Or not even that, just like they don't want to go to a thing. They're like, oh, Ricky's calling us. He's got cancer. He's doing this. He's doing that. Like he's out of town.
It's awesome. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is fucking incredible. I got really jealous that I didn't think of this. This is like a long con that like I could have done for years. Imagine if you were imaginary.
And now you can't, because like, now they're like, oh, you're Ricky Stenicki? Like, you know, it's done.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Imagine if you were running this gambit and then this movie comes out and you're like, oh, let's watch this movie. And you sit there and you're like sitting there with your wife and you're like, fuck. Like, Steve was never real. And god damn it, she's going to figure it out right here. It's going to be like, oh, this looks kind of like Steve. And you'd be like,
Is this the first time we've ever had Zeph in a yarmulke?
I think quite possibly.
on screen.
I don't know where he would be representing Jewish heritage otherwise that I can remember in a film.
That's a look. That's a thing. I mean, because there's a bris. Of course there's a bris. I mean, what kind of comedy movie is complete without a bris where they half circumcise the baby and then have to, because they accidentally
that dose is the most Seinfeld bit ever, right? You know,
they accidentally dose the Moyle with ketamine.
Yes.
Boy.
They accidentally dose the Moyle, who is, what's his name?
Jeff Ross. Comedian Jeff Ross.
Yeah, Jeff Ross. Jeff Ross is the Moyle.
Roastmaster General. Mm-hmm.
And then they try to K-hole as a verb. They try to K-hole this their one actor friend who plays in the what, like the Charles Jr. commercials?
Carl is it Carl's Jr. or Charles Jr.? Are they called Charles Jr.?
I don't, whatever. It's Carl's Jr. Hardee's is like, I think, the vibe. And it was like, free fries, yeah. And like, he's that guy. Exactly.
Unlimited fries.
They're like, we should just ketamine that. What? Why do they want to ketamine him?
Because
because he knows Ricky. Because
Ricky
he's like,
knows him. He's like, I know that guy.
Yeah. Okay. So fuck. Okay. So can we just explain the story a little bit? We made the imaginary friend up. They're like, okay, the one guy's having his baby shower. So they're like planning the baby shower. And they're like, uh-oh, Ricky's cancer's back.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we have to go. And it turns out that, like, they just went to Atlantic City. We realized that, like, you know, they're just, again, using him as a lie. And then when they're in Atlantic City, they meet John Cena at a bar, and he tells them about his jerk-off routine.
Yep.
And he's like, I'm a trained actor. That's what it is. He's just a trained actor, mm-hmm. is what he keeps saying.
Even though he's going by South Jersey's premier X-rated rock and roll impersonator, which is, you know, honestly, a pretty good summation of what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. His wife goes into labor 6 weeks early, and the baby comes out 6 weeks early. So they come back, and they're like, man.
Because their one coworker got them tickets to a DJ, a real DJ.
Yeah. You know that guy. He's, like, on, like, social media and stuff. You recognize him?
I don't know if I do. Because on Prime, on the X-ray that came up with the song, I'm like, is this like a real, like, it looks like a real thing. Like, it looks like they actually like, had a concert of his in Atlantic City that they just, like, shot at and then, you know, got out of town or whatever, right? So.
Yep. Yeah. So, they come back because now he does it. And they're like, how do they get to the point where they're like, we need to see Ricky Stenick?
Well, because
he says he'll be here Saturday night. They're going to have the bris on Sunday.
Well, because one of the moms is, like, very insistent that Ricky is not real. They've been making Ricky up, that she's like, you guys are lying to us. You've been lying to us forever. We want to meet Ricky Stenicki. And I think they just sort of accumulated pressure. And then what we don't really know until the movie is that Wes, Jermaine Fowler, seemingly has been using Ricky as an excuse, like, way more than the other guys. Like, just like, oh, yeah, Ricky's
secretly
in town. Like, I dated Ricky. You know, he read my book or whatever, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, Ricky's going to be in town on Saturday night. They're like, great. Like, he can swing by the bris or whatever. They're like, oh, no. It's just like, it's accumulated. It's like decades long of, like, evasive
them lying
pressure.
Him out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Wes being like, oh, well, he's going to be in town. Like, didn't you say he's going to be in town or whatever? So, yeah.
Obviously, they're like, we're just going to call Cena. He's the only guy we know.
Yep.
We'll get him. Oh, because they also have a book that they're like, they write down, like, all of their lies
the
in one book called The Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Just so they can keep it straight and, like, look back and be like, this is when he had testicular cancer, blah, 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 blah. Like, what did we actually do? Blah, 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 blah. So they give it to Ricky's, they give it to Cena, and he comes and shows up, and he's wearing a shirt that says, it's one of my favorite things of this movie and one of the best jokes in this movie for no reason.
Oh, yes. I wrote this down, too, because
he has a shirt
what was,
on the...
Because the story you told, it's not like a story. He said there's like a DJ at Disneyland wearing like I Like Carrots shirt or something.
Yeah, it was Deadmau5 like a week ago. No, it just said carrots.
Just said carrots.
Just said carrots.
But this shirt reminded me of that, kind of.
It did. So Cena shows up, gets off the plane, is puking because he's an alcoholic. He stopped drinking. It just says, I don't trust soup.
I don't trust soup.
Yeah, excellent shirt. Mm-hmm. I need that shirt. That's a very, very good one. So he shows up and he's like, look, I'm Ricky Stenicki. He's sober. He's in the program. He reads the Bible. He takes it very, very much to heart and, like, starts method acting Ricky Stenicki.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, this is going to go really bad.
But he's really good at it.
So
he's
even
like,
worse.
So
it's
that's what's
really
weird. It's like,
good
I'm
at
trying
it.
To figure out, I guess because he's an alcoholic, you're like, but he's a good actor. He's a good performer. Like, the character now. the character Ricky is like a Rod, is a good performer. He's charismatic. He can memorize shit. He's like good in like good on his toes.
Yeah.
And you're like, how is he not actually working? But I guess he's just it's because he's an alcoholic.
He's an alcoholic and probably he's kind of a putz at the same time, right? Like just generally. Like this, it only fits because this is the role that he got. Like if you were like, okay, like here's like any other role, you'd be like, oh, he's terrible at this.
Right.
So that's, it's like the perfect storm thing. But either way, he's excellent at it. So he shows up because now he has to go to this bris and he's just slaying. Everybody's loving him. Then he goes and he like roasts their boss because their boss is there for some reason. So, because he has to be for the movie, I guess. So he meets their boss and he like roasts them, but like he also like that's when we discover that like he got so into the role that he knows like all the backgrounds of their lives.
He knows like everything because he's like
I'm, he knows like, everything
because he knows about the upcoming merger. And Zeph was
the
like
rumors of a merger. Yeah.
He's like, oh, it's on your Twitter. And then Zeph gets mad about that, but he's just like, that seems like it seems kind of normal. Like. Also, maybe Zeph's character shouldn't have been tweeting about a company you're possibly merging. You know what I mean? It's like a weird...
Yeah.
Like, it seems like a kind of a movie convention, but it, like he's like, I'm going deep. I'm figuring out what we need to do.
All facets of your lives, yeah. He's pretty much killing it.
He's too good.
He's too good.
Because he gets hired by William H. Macy to, like, work at the bank.
So they have the, like... The, you know, we're at the Bris... They have Jeff Ross on ketamine. He half circumcises the baby. Seinfeld to the T. Like literally the same bit from Seinfeld. And then they're like, well, Ricky Stenicki used to circumcise Africans. So we can have him do it. And he just like takes the boss's cigar cutter, snip snip, finishes the rest. One fell swoop. Yeah, so they're like, okay, he gotta go. And you could see that John Cena's like, okay, like, I found my friends. Like, I can actually be Ricky Stenicki. And they're like, no, we hired you to do this thing. Get the fuck out of here, right. You wacko. Like, go home. Like, it's okay. We're over now. We paid you.
But this is also, like, not even halfway through the movie. You're like, this can't be the movie. Yeah. Like, it's like, he's gotta come back. He's gotta stick around. But you're like, how could he possibly stick around? And that's when
And you got, like, out. At least an hour to 40 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You find out so that like, William H. Macy has hired him to help at the bank. Or not the bank, but like the financial institution, like the bank, but like the
they're like investors. Offices. Yeah. So they hire him, give him a job. Ricky is essentially like their boss now, right? They give him making way more money than they make. He hires the other third friend that doesn't have a job and has just been a big loser as his attaché. And he, dude, I love that joke. Sent me so hard when he goes, he's like. He's like, just get your attaché to do it. And he's like, I don't have an attaché. I'm not a fucking foreign diplomat. Like, Zeph just yells at him. Very funny to me. I don't know why. They're like, okay, we need to get him out of here. Because he clearly doesn't know what he's doing. And they're like, but he's been kind of killing it at everything he's been doing since we told him what to do. And so they're like, okay. So they let him, like, start running meetings and stuff. And then, obviously, he just fails upwards there, too. It's just incredible the whole time.
Well, he pitches, like, he's like, what if we were a non-profit, for-profit bank? They're like, you're an idiot. He's like, wait, no, hold on, hear me out. And, like, he just talks about, like, how, you know, investing for good. But it's a kind of a classic. It's still funny because I think it's the way that, like, Cena and everybody delivers it. But, like, the whole, like, whatever the bill, like, fuck you, Bill. Like, just, like, where the guy is like, this is a bad idea. Like, we're a bank. We're supposed to make money. And he's like... No, fuck you, Bill. Like, just, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because he mouse fuck you to this guy.
Mm-hmm. He's like, what'd you say? Oh, I was just saying fuck you to that guy. Oh, yeah, fuck you, man.
So then it actually pretty good writing. They're like, oh, now, you know, Cena's essentially like the right hand to the hand to.
Yes, he is the little finger.
He's the little finger. First day. This is just day one of the job. He's now the right hand to the owner of the business. And he's like, the merger's going bad. We don't know why. And Cena's like, I know exactly why. And he's like, you're a world-class air dicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tells them, he's like, I got to go tell the boss. And they're like, dude, do not say this to the boss. And he's like, I recorded it. Look. And then there's just this insanely long cut of this guy giving speeches, and everything that like he's doing looks like he's fellatiating an air penis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really funny.
And he shows William H. Macy, and he like freaks out. He's just like, I gotta stop.
Yeah, he's like, yo, you're doing it again. There you go. And he's like, I respect and love that this is the only man honest enough to give me the truth. So you somehow have more power now, John Cena, than you even had at the beginning of the day, I guess.
And I think what makes, I mean, so this is like, it's a little frustrating movie wise, but it also makes sense that like, he's like, hey, I can be Ricky now full time. We can be friends. And they're like, no, we hired you for a day. Get out of here. And it's like, it's annoying because on the one hand, like, they're right to be scared because he could blow up their entire history of lives.
Blow up everything.
But on the other hand, like, he seems like a good dude who's like good at his job somehow, right? Like, it feels like.
Like, I would be like, hey, look, put a week in here, be like, get emergency called to Nairobi. Or, you know what I mean? Like, something else. Like, you got a bigger job at like a charity. And you'll just stay on as a consultant if he wants you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Situation. I'd be like, we can like ease this out. We don't have to rip the Band-Aid off today.
So
you shouldn't have taken this job, you idiot. But like,
right. Meanwhile, all movie along, Zeph's girlfriend is this reporter who's like on like the shitty, like, you know, community good times, good feelings stories, like a duck that's been sitting on a golf ball at a golf course.
You
for
mean
six
Veronica
days.
Corningstone from the Anchorman?
Yes.
But just. A different race. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly what's happening.
And so she's like, well, we can sell this story to, we can sell the story of Ricky Snicky, like our hero of the week, the MFNBC, which, okay. But then she realizes, like, she catches Zeph in a lie because he's like, he's going to Nairobi to fight Ebola. And she's like, that's never happened. It's never happened. And so
which I have a note on that just to let you know, there has been an Ebola outbreak in New Haven in the last 4 years.
Oh, in New Haven, but not Nairobi.
Not Nairobi. Isn't that kind of amazing? Mm-hmm. I think she says at one point there hasn't been an Ebola outbreak anywhere in the world in the last 4 years. And I was like, well, we had one at Yale New Haven Hospital.
Mm, well, and, you know, again, you said it before. Providence is close. He could have just gone to New Haven. He's like, babe, got to go to New Haven.
I think there was like two or three in the hospital. It was pretty. I got nervous for a minute. And this was pre-pandemic. So we're like, yeah, it was weird.
So she then realizes what's going on. But she's like, there's actually a better story here. And so as Zeph is coming clean and admitting that he lied, like basically taking the fall for his friends, like, this is my idea, this is my fault, fire me, I'm the fraudster, it's my fault, blame me. He leaves. He basically resigns and leaves. And then they actually still air the Hero of the Week, and it's about how Ricky Snicky is a fraud.
It's not a hit piece. Yeah, it starts out like it seems like it could be a hit piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out into like, the dream of one man achieving his dreams.
And how these three friends believed in a guy so much that they set him on the right path. He met his future wife, maybe. Who knows, possibly.
They changed his entire life. They gave him a job.
They sobered him up.
Yeah.
They gave him money. And so Jermaine Fowler goes outside. It's like, Zeph, come inside. We got to watch this. And then somehow, improbably, like it somehow lands the plane to be a believable happy ending where it's like, like, you know the movie's going to have a happy ending, but I'm like, I don't know how they get there in a way that's, like, realistic or believable.
Yeah, not completely batshit insane. And it does. You're right.
It does. And then we find out that the lawyers were just Billy Idol's guy serving cease and desist. And it's a happy ending. You know, Cena maybe is going to marry. Like, this is, like, the thing that, like, it also feels like the classic Farrelly Brothers. Is like, this girl's real gross because she's got long hair. It's like,
yeah.
Okay. But, like, you know, Cena falls in love with her. Maybe one day going to marry her. Who knows?
He said they're fiancés.
Well, at the end. They say, really? And he goes, I don't know, maybe.
Dude, I fucking love Cena. This movie just made me, you're right. This is 100%. Like, we would have finished this movie if we were doing it for Zeph and, like, Cena wasn't in Fast and the Furious. And I'd have been like, should we watch the rest of Cena's movies? Because, like, this is really, really fun.
So John Cena, of course, in Barbie. He is Peacemaker in the Suicide Squad and also the Peacemaker show.
Yep.
He's a voice in the Turtles movie. He's in Bumblebee. That's another one of his bigger ones. He was just in Argyle, which I'd still not seen yet. Blockers, Trainwreck, Daddy's Home. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and they're all like this vibe.
Yeah.
Like, besides Fast and the Furious, they're all kind of just dumb, right?
I think we would be like, ooh, this was a mistake. Like, when I wanted to do a spin-off Vanessa Hudgens podcast, you looked at the movies, you're like, I don't want to do this. And I was like,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But we would have been like, oh, yeah, like there would have been like glimmers of like really exciting stuff. Like when we got to Blockers, when we got to Trainwreck, whatever, be like, oh, cool, like this is it. And then Sisters, when he's dating, I think, Tina Fey. And then it's just like, oh, no, we have to watch. Oh, you like Vacation Friends, but we have to watch Freelance.
I loved Vacation Friends.
Playing with Fire and Vacation Friends 2.
We haven't seen Vacation Friends 2. I'm scared. But Vacation Friends 1 was really funny. If you watch this movie and you liked this movie at all, you should watch Vacation Friends as well, because it's very similar of Cena just being insane.
There is some franchise called Fred the Movie, and then there's Fred 2 and Fred 3, and they all have abysmal ratings on Letterboxd, and he is in all three of them.
That's kind of awesome. Are they WWE productions by
no,
any chance?
No, they're like actual Nickelodeon.
Movies? Oh, okay, same thing. I mean, come on, it's... What? Companies that make entertainment for children run by scumbags. I think they're essentially the exact same thing.
Wow, Quiet on Set really changed your mind.
I mean, I can always believe... It doesn't stop me from liking all that, but I mean, oh, now the foot jokes and the cum shots are a lot weirder, for sure.
Truly. The only other note that I have, my favorite line in the movie, and this is the thing that we talk about on Too Fast a lot, because it's the kind of joke, it's the type of joke that doesn't age well. They're talking about, like, basically Cena keeps failing upward, and he's just like, this is becoming a bigger problem. Like, we thought we brought him in to, like, solve one problem, but, like, it's causing other problems or whatever.
Yes.
And Zeff just says, what is happening right now? I feel like Jason Bateman in every episode of Ozark.
Yeah.
I don't know if you and Rachel have watched Ozark. Have you guys watched Ozark?
We watched, like, the first couple episodes, enough that I understood
Bob
him
and
being
I
like, what the fuck
have
is happening?
I've slowly been watching it for, like, 3 years. Like, when we record How to Win the Lottery, we would do, like, one episode. And we haven't watched, because we're in the final season, we're just like, we don't want to watch this, because it's not good. But every single episode is, like, insane things happen. Like, they fix one thing and three more things, like, three more leaks pop up. And Jason Bateman, like, that entire show, he's just basically like, his head in his hands, just like, I don't know what I'm... And so, like, to reference, like, I feel like I'm Jason Bateman in every episode of Ozark, I'm like, that's a very specific reference that, like, pretty good.
It's really funny. I liked, only because I have a backstory for it, my favorite line like this was...
In this movie or just in any movie?
In this movie.
Okay.
They're convinced that Jeff Ross is allergic to peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, he's allergic to peanuts. And they're like, he's allergic to penis. That doesn't work very good for a Moyle.
Mm.
And that joke hits really hard for me because there, I don't know if you remember this, and I might unlock a core memory for some of you. I only have it because my sister had it. There was some VHS videos that she had, and there was a commercial at the beginning of it that was for peanuts videos, like Charlie Brown,
okay, sure,
Snoopy,
sure.
peanuts
totally
videos.
Normal.
Totally normal. It was like one of the first things. And on the tape, there was these little kids saying how much they love Peanuts movies. But because they're little kids, a lot of them had speech impediments and things like that. So it was like a 2-minute commercial of children saying how much they love penis movies. And because my sister was younger and I was just like of an age of reason at like 12 or 13, I had caught on to what was happening and found this fucking hysterical. So I would just like be rolling on the ground laughing like, I love penis videos. And I was like, amazing. This is hysterical to hear a child say.
Pretty good.
And so the Peanuts penis joke hit for me this time for that reason.
Very good. I don't remember. It's not a VHS that I had. I don't remember those, but it does feel like the kind of thing where you're like, one day you'll get it. Maria,
one day this will be fucking comedic gold for you, and by then you'll be too old to watch this video, so you won't get it. It's like right. You had to be like,
you need like a younger sister who's also watching this in 3 years.
Because like if you're an adult, you'd have been like, oh, it's children can't pronounce this word.
Right.
You need to be primarily 12 to 13 to be like, yeah. Yes.
All right, let's watch the trailer. Which I know that they were like, we were saying that, like I was getting barraged with Ricky Sinicky like. Autoplay ads on Fire TV and stuff like that. But I don't know. Same. Like, there's a 2-minute, 40-second trailer. I don't know where this would have played. Top comment, though. Very, very fitting. Haha, what a great casting. Ricky Sinicky, a man no one has seen before. And it's John Cena. Because you can't see him.
Amazing.
The fact that in the lore of this movie, nobody ever questioned the existence of a man whose name is literally Ricky Sinicky instantly makes this the best stupid plot ever. I love it.
I did see a commercial for this somewhere, and I want to say it was in a movie theater at one point that I saw the commercial for this, which feels very strange considering it was released on Amazon.
Well, there, you know, if Amazon has another movie go to theaters, which sometimes they do, like maybe for award season, although I don't know that they would have put this before award season. Sometimes they, like, you know, movies they produce because they own MGM can go there, so they will push. It's a possibility. I don't know. But there's also another comment. I love when the trailer gives 90% of the plot away, so get ready for that kind of trailer. Are you ready to watch Ricky Sinicky official trailer, Prime Video, posted by Prime Video, 21 million views?
I am locked and loaded.
3, 2, 1, play. It also bothers me, like, when that, like, font on the iPhone's not the iPhone font. It's just like, just have
a what?
Ricky's been there for you guys your whole lives.
The devil's in the details, my friend.
Beautiful.
Here we come. What we got?
Ricky's cancer's back.
Why does it have to be cancer?
Won't everybody get worried?
Yeah, and that's gonna take us right into the World Series.
I like that joke too. It's gonna take us right into the World Series.
Baseball season, baby.
The best friend we never had. Mm.
My baby's gonna be born 6 weeks early.
I was born 6 weeks early.
Oh, I want to know. Also a good joke.
Tonight. We called every hospital and there was no record of a Ricky Stanicky.
Yeah, this is a real, like, we are blowing through plot in this.
We're following the story quickly.
What if we hire an actor to play?
Oh yeah, this would have really ruined everything about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I do a whole act.
Completely. It's like this movie in 3 minutes. Yeah, they're crushing everything, dude.
Oh, Jesus.
I've been cold turkey in the booze.
I don't trust soup. We get the t-shirt, too. Mm-hmm.
It's not what you think it is. It's just piss.
Oh, they did. There was a funny joke where it's kind of the same thing where it's like, I'll say it after this. Unless they might have spoiled it here.
This is Ted Summerhayes, my boss.
Ted, nice to meet you. Digging the suit in the seedlings, man.
He goes, the man that dressed like a rancher to my son's bris, that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Epic night, am I right, guys?
I was really taken with your friend Stanicky. He's got brass balls on him, that guy. That's why I hired him.
That's awesome.
What?
You just said...
Oh, that was a good joke set too. Just get the fuck out of here. What the fuck did you just say?
Mm-hmm.
And we're done.
Stanicky, you are unbelievable.
Show's over, Rod.
It's Ricky.
Ricky Stanicky.
We don't have fighting as a thing. That's for the Channing podcast. But Zeph does fight with Cena.
Fight Cena a little bit, yeah.
Which is, you know, honestly, you know, real life wrestler, last movie wrestler.
Every time he tries to make a point, it's like he's smoking invisible dogs.
Dear God, it's true.
Everything. Everything.
Every single bit.
New every movie, single bit. March 7th. Wow.
So.
If you don't want to watch this movie, just watch that trailer. I mean, we talked about all of it, but yeah, we also ruined it, but
there is a version of the podcast where I'm just like, I don't want to watch Ricky Sinicky. I'll just watch the trailer and be like, oh yeah, I know exactly what happens.
Yeah, it's like... you didn't read the book for school, so you got the spark notes. You're like, oh, yeah, I know.
So, there is a joke that I really like in here that I forgot about until the trailer, but they talk about, and it's something that, like, we have, in Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, they're like, why is this guy with an Austrian accent the mayor of a small town in Kansas or whatever? Just like, oh.
When Jason Statham was in Homestead, he had an English accent, but he's from Alabama or whatever. Yes, I get it.
So, they say to Cena... you're a drunk, you're a mess. How do you have a body like this? He's like, oh, lots of steroids. Just lots and lots of steroids.
I had that in my notes too, and I didn't say it. And I was like, him saying that is really funny considering he's a wrestler. And like, man, I just like Cena. That's like a really great, you know, because like, I don't think The Rock would ever be like, lots of steroids. That's how I look like. You know what I mean? Like, because it's like, that could tarnish your actual reputation.
But I also think there's like a weird kind of like reverse psychology where it's like, by making that joke, it's like, I'm clean.
I agree. And he's not. All those guys are on steroids. Like, wrestling is like, that's part of the reason why it's like entertainment.
Well, we've talked about this a lot with Zeph before, but like, you need a certain kind of build, but also like, it's an insane, like, not everybody can look like that, but like, that's an insane, it's insane.
Dude, oh, you know what else we said? Rachel and I are watching this, and we were like, Cena has the largest fucking hands too in this movie. There's like something he's doing, like holding an iPhone or something, and you're just like, this guy has fucking mitts. Like, they're just so big. And he has that, like, I don't know. He just has, like, really goofy proportions. I love John Cena. He looks like a weird person, just proportion-wise. Because he has, like, a giant head, huge shoulders, and then, like, short arms but big hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's all weird.
So there are... We're going to play the Google game where I search Zac Efron, Ricky Sinicky, try to guess the autocompletes. One is salary, which is not a real thing, but there's only one other thing about this movie that people are searching.
Okay. True?
Mm-mm. It's something from the movie specifically. And it's not something that I would have noticed.
Songs?
Mm-mm.
Like the...
Nope. It's not something I would have noticed, but it's something that like other people would notice, and something that is right in line with something that comes up almost every episode.
Workout?
Mm-mm. Different kind of thing, though.
Hair?
Mm-mm. Closer, but no.
Surgery?
Mm-mm. You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way.
What is it?
Hair was closest, but not really super close.
Hmm. What is it? What is it? What is it?
It's something wardrobe related.
What is...
And then weirdly, there was, if you search Ricky Stenicki Zac Efron, there are two autocompletes that don't even have Ricky Stenicki in there, but it just says, are Corbin Blue and Zac Efron still friends? Like from High School Musical.
People are still... Man. What did he... Something... Does he wear anything?
I did not notice this, but it makes sense for his kind of character to be wearing it. There's two different versions of it. There's watch and wristwatch.
What is the watch that he has in this
know.
Movie? Is it Zac Efron? Zac Efron, Ricky.
He can be seen wearing an Oris X Servo Volante Big Crown in his new Amazon Prime movie, Ricky Sinicky.
The watch head's a real man.
This is on Instagram, Wrist Enthusiast.
Okay.
Sure, man.
The watch head's, I don't know. Like, sneakerheads I kind of get, but, like, the what, like, I, you know, like, I don't know. I it's just not for me. So, I can, like, look at this. I want to see those best turquoise watches, though. That's kind of cool.
Our newest watch guide, this is from 57 weeks ago, the 26 best turquoise watches is up at wristenthusiast.com, link in bio.
See, I like nice watches, but, like, it's one of those things that I'm like, yeah, I like nice watches like I like Ferraris. Like, cool.
Yeah, if I had lots of money, I would buy lots of them.
Exactly.
I don't have lots of money, so I'm not buying lots of them.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, because like, I can't watch a movie and be like, what watch is Zeph wearing? I'm going to buy one of those. Like that one I just said was like $2,000. I'm like, yeah, I have an iPhone.
But I wonder if that's a thing that like so few people are searching about this movie, or there are so many watch enthusiasts searching about that one thing in particular. But it's just like, why is that
it's a combination of both.
It's the only autocomplete. But also it's like... There's nothing else about that. It's not like it's shirtless. He's not super, like, he's obviously in good shape here, but like compared to Cena, he's not ripped. You know what I mean? Like it's just,
you're not looking
for diet. You're not looking for whatever, you know, his girlfriend in this movie, like he's so anti-kid. Like they don't seem like they have a good relationship. It's not like, they don't have any chemistry. You know what I mean? It's just like, there's nothing.
I did really enjoy that. I enjoyed his child hatred. That was pretty fun.
I know you did. I'm sure you did.
Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I can get behind that.
All right, so the Letterboxd game, for reference sake, Mad Max Fury Road, one of the most popular films on Letterboxd, has been seen by 1.9 million people. Ricky Sinicky just came out a couple weeks ago on Prime, directed by Peter Farrelly, starring Zac Efron, Jermaine Fowler, Andrew Santino, and John Cena, has been seen by how many people?
Well, it's free on Prime.
I will say that Lex Scott Davis, who is Zeph's girlfriend and eventual wife in this movie, was in The First Purge, not The Purge, but The First Purge. And she was also in Sweet Girl, which is a Jason Momoa movie with Isabella Merced, who played Dora. And she was also in Madam Web, which we know all about from our Madam Web spinoff podcast.
I'm going to guess...
This is... I don't even know where you would start. Like, it could be...
I'm going to go... my initial inkling was 7,000 people, and I don't know why.
You are way too low.
Okay. 40,000 people?
Still way too low. One more guess.
75,000
108,000 people have already watched Ricky Sinicky, including nine of my friends.
We always fucking forget that like, free plays hard. You know what I mean? Like Netflix, like when Netflix is like on a run and everybody has Netflix, like everybody, like, I don't know. I watch nonsense. I watch repeated stuff, but I definitely have people that are just like, whatever new thing came out on Netflix is, they watch that new thing on Netflix because they have Netflix and Netflix just curates what they watch for them. It's very weird. I don't know. I can't operate like that. I know that you're even way more farther away from that than I am, but I think that I'm pretty brainless and dumb, so like I think that they would monkey feed me pretty well, and they don't even do that to me, so I feel very okay. Sorry.
Yes, there's the Netflix thing. There's also like if you have a Fire TV, it's like, hey, watch Ricky. It's like I like them. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like
so we're gonna go to out of those 108,000 people, how many of them are their top four favorite films of all time?
Oh, it's new. I don't... 16.
Too low.
25.
Too low. One more guess.
35.
64. The new release threw you off your game. You're much better than this usually.
No, it threw me off my game because it's a new release and it's free, essentially. So it wasn't like a new release in theaters. It was like a new release that's free.
No, I get it.
And it also dropped kind of, I guess it like, did we have like a day off sometime soon? Like recently? Did we have a vacation?
You took a day off. Normal people did not.
No, we had a day off, but I don't know why we get that day off. But I do, but like it was nonsense. It's not a day off that everybody gets.
No,
no, I was saying because like, you know, like sometimes when it's, when some one of these free movies comes out and it's also like Thanksgiving. Like,
right.
Then I scale up that it's like, oh, everybody was home. This kind of seems like a movie.
No, this was just like a movie that has been out for 2 weeks.
Came out.
Yep.
Makes no sense. Okay.
We're going to go to Nathaniel Heaton at Natty Heaton on Letterboxd, who watched this on March 8th. I guess it came out 3 weeks ago. The funniest film I have ever seen. John Cena is hilarious in this film. Best
ever
comedy
seen.
Movie ever. Exclamation, 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 exclamation. 5 stars. But Natty Heaton gave Bottoms, a movie that I love so much, 1 star. Worst film I have watched in a long time, and I've sat through all
five. Was Bottoms
five...
the one that, what's his name, kept yelling about Billy Eichner? Wasn't that the one that he just kept yelling at everybody for not seeing?
No, that was Boys.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Bottoms is the one with Rachel Sennett and Io Debris with Marshawn Lynch as their gym teacher.
Oh, that sounds fun.
They start a fight club in high school.
Amazing.
It's really
sounds
good.
Awesome. Okay.
I've sat through all five after films, and somehow this is worse than all those films. 1 star. Well, Maddie, you know, whatever. Okay. So I did this because this should be easy. Ricky Sinicky, number 4. There's no other Zeff movies in the top 4. Number 1 and number 2 are part of the same franchise, and they are two of the biggest movies of all time.
Star Wars.
A different franchise.
Marvel.
Uh-huh. Two of the biggest Marvel movies of all time.
It's Endgame.
Number 2.
And the one before Endgame.
Infinity War? No, it's not another Avengers movie, but it's another MCU movie.
Civil War. People like that one a lot.
Different. Nope. They do, but no. Although this character in this movie debuted in Civil War.
Oh, fuck.
There's only two characters I think that debuted in Civil War that have, like, franchises.
I have no fucking idea. What character? I don't know the MCU like that. That was a good hint, but it was a good hint because it's now probably very obvious and I'm not going to get it.
This is, I would say, this would qualify for, well, big hint, Nathaniel Natty says, greatest movie of all time.
Guardians?
No.
People love Guardians. I'm going on ones people love.
This one, it's one that people love. This would qualify for Mike's podcast, Third Time's a Charm.
Thor?
Nope. People do love that, though.
Yeah. I don't think they like the... No, they did like the third one. They hated the fourth. It was like they hated the second one.
The third one's great.
The third one was good.
Yeah.
The fourth
first
one sucks.
First one's good. Second one's bad. Third one's great. Fourth one's bad.
Yeah. Okay.
This one, first one's good. Second one's slightly less good. Third one's great. They have not made a fourth one yet. The female lead in this movie is...
Is it Ant-Man?
Mm-mm. No, that third one's
Spider-Man.
Terrible. Mm-hmm. Which, what's the third one?
Far From Home.
No,
Homecoming.
That's the first one. the one other home one.
No Way Home.
No Way Home, number one.
Okay, God.
So Nanny says, greatest movie of all time. Avengers Endgame, second best film of all time. Third best film of all time, he has not reviewed. But it's a movie that comes up a lot because I pick it a lot because it was shot in Pittsburgh.
Because it was
and
shot.
And Brian covered it for his podcast.
The Fault in Our Stars.
Nope. But it's a similar sounding title. It's Aislinn's favorite movie of all time.
Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Perks of Being a Wallflower. So this guy loves No Way Home, Endgame, Perks, and Ricky Stenicki. And fucking hates Bottoms.
That's fun. I think personality-wise, he and I could never get along. Those are just like some strong takes, and I have strong opposing takes of a lot of things too. So, like,
you know what's weird, and I have not really. I don't know where else to say it, but like, there's this weird backlash where like a lot of actors, like now the cool thing is bashing Marvel, which I get, but it's like they just had Anthony Mackie talking about like some. I mean, it might not have been like it might. I just saw the headline because I don't give a shit about reading the article, so they might have just like pulled a quote out of context, but it's just like. There's not much you can do with the characters. It's like, don't talk shit about the thing that, like, you're in. You know what I mean? Like,
biting the hand that feeds you, bro.
Dakota Johnson's out here, like, I understand. She's like, I don't know what the fuck. I don't know why I'm in Madame Web. Like, that's one thing. But, like, Anthony Mackie, you've been in, like, five of these movies. Like, don't shit talk.
And
like,
a whole fucking show to yourself, bud.
I know. And there's a new Cap. The Cap 4 is your movie.
Yeah.
So, but, like, there's this trend to be like, let's dunk on Marvel. It's like, I get it, but also, like...
I get that, like, Batista... Or, no, not Batista, who the fucking... Somebody else is, like... Like Vin. If Vin was, like, fuck Marvel, we'd be like, yeah, we get it.
But he's also Groot.
Like, also true. I forgot. I mean, they're all in it. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I was trying to think of someone that's like, oh, like, yeah, fuck Marvel. And there's, like, I'll never be in one of those movies. And you're like, okay, cool. Like, sure.
Maybe is The Rock the biggest star who's not been in a Marvel movie? Because he was Black
Adam.
Has to be,
yeah.
The Rock and Taylor Swift should do a Marvel movie together, and then, like, we check off two things off that.
It definitely needs to be a musical, though. And not a surprise musical like fucking Thor was.
A Moana Taylor musical, but as a Marvel movie? That thing would make $3 billion.
it would become its own bank. There would be just like there'd be like the bank of the ocean.
The bank for good. Banking for good,
yeah. Feel good investments. That's what it would be.
All right. Fire ass titles. Ricky Snicky's an insane name for a movie, but
first thing they would do is buy the Chiefs, by the way, with Moana Bank.
Oh. Well, right? Yeah, I guess The Rock's like, I don't want to own the XFL anymore. I want to own the NFL. It's like the NFL is a $40 billion organization. Okay, let's just own one team.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna start with the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna work my way up and buy the rest of the. He's like $7 in a dream,
like $7 productions and the Chiefs.
Exactly.
Fire settles to Ricky Stenicki though.
Imaginary friends.
Invisible friends. I mean, there's got to be something invisible. You can't see me, like the. Yeah. Oh, or also just like you know, straight up like shout out to the monsters that made us, like the Invisible Man.
Ah, that's a good one. Air Dickin.
Air Dicky Stenicki.
Ah, that's good. They drank a lot of Narragansett beer in this movie, too, which is really funny because there's a lot of Narragansett beer around me. We've drank a bunch of Narragansett beer.
You know,
which is...
I don't love Peter Farrelly movies, but like it seems like he pays attention to beer, like the whole PBR and the greatest beer run ever. You know what I mean?
Oh, fair.
Like,
yeah, true. True.
This is hard. This is tough.
The Wedding Singer. Because it just feels like The Wedding Singer with John Cena for a lot of this.
You could also just do, like, The Friendship Bible or The Bible or something.
The Bible would be a great name for
this
movie. The
Trump Bible? $60.
What is that?
Oh, he's selling a Bible now. You know this?
Why? No. I saw the shoes.
He needs to fund...
His bail.
His re-election and also his legal expenses. So he's selling shoes and he's also selling $60 Bibles. Like, he's turning himself into a messiah.
If we've already done that. We've seen it. It's just now he's just selling Bibles. I want to study this grift one day. Like, so much later down the road. Like, you know, well, like we'll go back and tell our children, like, yeah, then he started selling shoes. And they're like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? This is American history? This is what we're learning about? You're like, yeah. He had his own social media thing because he got thrown off of Twitter and then started selling shoes and, you know, went to jail. I don't know, man. Well, it was a weird time.
Publicly traded company. You can buy stock in Truth Social under the ticker DJT.
God damn. Mm-hmm. You're making this worse. I've been trying to avoid any of these newses because I know that we're getting closer to the elections and it's going to be shit for the next, like, 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Somebody at work was started bringing up, like, stuff like this, and I was like, guys, it is fucking March. I cannot do this until October.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's way too early for this. We can't start doing it. I need total freedom until then.
Any other fire-ass titles?
No. No, I really don't have... You're right, roids. I don't know. Like, what
do you... I don't trust soup.
Never trust the soup. That's a good one. Yeah.
So the final thing to do is guessing, crying, and shirtless. So I didn't write them down last time, but you said something about how he, in reference to the Iron Claw, he was going to be naked, crying in the shower while masturbating, which we had no idea how much masturbation would play into this plot in terms of the SEMA stuff. So you're not right, but you got like a hint of it. You got flavoring, right?
Yeah, one scent of flavor of point.
And I said something about how he was going to have to break up with Ricky Sinicky and he was going to cry and be shirtless then. So, like, neither of those things happened because he wasn't crying or shirtless in this movie. I don't know the next movie that's going to come out for sure. I would guess it would be A Family Affair, which is the Netflix movie with Joey King and Nicole Kidman. It was supposed to come out this past November and then Netflix delayed it. The new release date is just 2024. So here's the
one... So it's ostensibly probably done.
It is done.
They just haven't released it yet.
They just haven't released it yet. So here's the one sentence plot. I've read this before on the show. A young woman named Zara, Joey King, works as an assistant for movie star Chris Cole, Zeff. That is, until Chris falls in love with her mother. So it's a romantic comedy directed by Richard LaGravenese. How will Zeff be crying and shirtless? It's a romantic comedy. He's taking the shirt off.
He's definitely going to be shirtless. I think that he...
Also in this movie is Shirley MacLaine. Also in this movie is Kathy Bates. And then someone named Liza Koshy, who I don't know.
I think the shirtless...
Oh, she's a YouTuber.
Shirtless and dancing, I think, are going to come together. He's going to be getting out of the shower. He's going to be dancing. And the mom is going to be at the house. And she's going to do like... Yeah, and she's going to do like a surprise, like, wiener check while he's like dancing and shirtless. And it's going to be like, oh... And, like, that is going to be the crux of the, like, maybe he falls in love with her when she sees his wiener. But...
Well, why would he be showering at his assistant's home?
I know. I think... Okay. I think that they're on a tour for something, like a press junket.
Okay.
They're, like, at a hotel or something. She brings her mom, Nicole Kidman, for, like, a vacation or something.
Okay.
And then... They're, like, in a really big suite, and they, like, come in, and he's shirtless and dancing, and the assistant's like, oh, and Nicole Kidman's like, oh, and, like, that's the shirtless and dancing. The crying, I think that it's going to be, like, he has to tell the assistant that, like, he's been sleeping with her mom.
Ooh.
It becomes an emotional point of the movie, and he's like, look, I regret it, because I never want to lose your assistance.
That's pretty good. So I was, as you were guessing, I was reading that it was postponed because of the writer's strike.
So okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
But then this month, March of 2024, it was reported that Nicole Kidman returned to film some additional scenes with Zac Efron and Shirley MacLaine. So like, they're still, even though it's done, they're still like working on it. They're still like better.
Post-production type of stuff. Yeah. Okay.
So I think the shirtless, I think separately or differently, I think Joey King is going to stumble upon them maybe in bed and he's going to be shirtless in bed with Nicole Kidman.
It's a good guess. Good guess. Yeah. I like
crying,
that one too.
I think, and this is just something I would like to see. I don't think this is likely. I think it'd be funny if Zac Efron as this actor in this movie was playing kind of like a Zac Efron parody type actor, like in types of movies like, I know he wasn't in The Notebook, but like The Notebook,
yeah,
like all those movies, and he's just like,
well, he was in the one with Piper from Orange is the New Black that was a sad one.
Oh, the lucky one.
Yeah, the lucky one was very much just The Notebook with a different
cast. I think I bought that movie on Blu-ray. I was like, this movie is so specifically what it is. I need to own this movie forever. What was also the one with Dead Ghost Brother with the girl from Silicon Valley Girl and Dave Franco?
Oh, that one was Charlie St. Cloud.
Yeah, yes. The bluest of blue. That's the origin of Bluest Blue Eyes.
Blue Eyes. The bluest blue eyes.
Also, you know, going back to Ricky's Nicky for a second, there's no crazy credits, but like there's so much in terms of what crazy credits has become. There's two credit scenes.
You'd think.
Submit them.
Yeah, 100. The Letterboxd people haven't got onto IMDb yet. So
I think the crying will be in his movies. He is a very weepy Zeph Gosling type.
And that's we see him like, on set.
And we see him on set. We also see like he's watching his own movies or something. And like in every shot, they just have him weeping.
Awesome. I like that.
So, a family affair.
What about dancing?
We don't do dancing. We do dancing for Channing.
Ah.
We could do dancing for this, though, too. I think he's going to... I think in the end, they're going to... He's going to break up with Nicole Kidman because Joey King is so upset about it. But I think they're going to go get back together. And then at the end of the movie, it's going to be a happy ending. They're going to get married. We're going to see them at their wedding dancing.
Wedding dancing is such a cop-out for Zeph.
I know, but that's what we got. Not by you. I know.
But
I
just saying, like, they always put him in a wedding so that there's a wedding dancing at the fucking thing every time.
A family affair. So the director of this movie also directed a segment of Parisia Tem. He did The Last 5 Years, which is an Anna Kendrick movie. He did Beautiful Creatures, which is the Emmy Rossum movie. It was written by Carrie Solomon. Oh, what? This is an interesting crossover. She has 2 writing credits on Letterboxd, A Family Affair, and the upcoming Oceans reboot with Gosling and Margot Robbie. So she's
Gosling
only written 2 movies.
Gosling and Margot are going to be in a new Oceans?
Uh-huh.
That's sick.
That's in the 60s. He's Mr. Ocean, she's Mrs. Ocean.
Weird.
And so this woman has written 2 movies, 1 Zeph, 1 Gosling. We see you, Carrie Solomon. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service for sure.
Anything else to say about Ricky Stenicki?
No, it was fun. I was actually glad that I watched it, to be honest.
I think it's not a good Zeph movie, but I think it's a better...
A Cena movie. I 100% agree down the line, but you're absolutely right.
Like, I think if you're on the fence about it, unless you're like a Zeph completionist, which I guess if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are, you probably don't have to watch it, but there's worse stuff. There's much better stuff, but there's also worse stuff.
There is. There 100%.
And I would rather watch this again than Greatest Beer Run.
This was much better than Greatest Beer Run. Yeah. I agree.
All right, well, we will be back at some point for either A Family Affair or something else. Maybe he'll surprise us with something else. Who knows? I don't know. But for all things Zach Attack, go to cageclub.me. Check out Too Fast, Too Forever every Tuesday. Anywhere you get this show, you can get that show. Same show, different podcast, different
same
movies.
Same exact show.
Same thing, though.
We actually talk about John Cena over there all the time. So
you can't see him. And maybe Zeph will join over there one day, even though he's not going to, because those movies are dying a slow death.
Yeah.
I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And we will see you next time right here on Zach Attack.
Ooh, baby, I masturbate every day. I want to tell you I masturbate every way. I want to be my midnight and day. Hey, yeah.